This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
The word spinster could make your skin crawl. To be an unmarried working woman with no children is an identity many have traditionally shunned or been embarrassed by. But for author Donna Ward, it's been liberating. In her mid-50s, without a husband or kids, Donna's memoir, She I Dare Not Name, A Spinster's Meditations on Life, sees her unravel a life lived without the common family structure, reflecting on a society that inherently alienates the single and childless. I asked her why there's such a stigma around being single.
I think if you're single with children, there's not such a stigma, because I think in Australia in particular, if you've got a form of family, not quite, you know, we don't quite care. If you're in a kind of family, you're seen as a person who's capable of the best kind of love there is, and that's to love a child. But I think that if you have chosen well in your life, and that means that you've ended up on your own, as I believe I have. And also there have been times when perfectly wonderful men that I would have coupled with absolutely have just chosen someone else. You know, there's that as well. But I think that if you are of a certain age, which it varies, and are childless in particular, you are considered suspect. You've either, you're a belligerent feminist who doesn't want to have anything to do with men. And I also think your sanity, in a way, is questioned. You know, you, like Germaine Greer said it in The Whole Woman. She said, you know, your capacity for pair bonding is questioned. And you are considered, your singleness, or in this case, spinsterhood, is considered the evidence, without doubt, of your psychological impairment and not, or your physical impairment or some other kind of problem that you have, and not the fact that you've just had a string of either inappropriate offers or that you've had relationships with people who've just fallen in love with someone else.
It is rare for someone to choose singleness as opposed for it to just be something that we accept as how our life has played out. As you mentioned, there may just not be someone who you end up pairing with. It just doesn't happen. It sounds like you've been able to find, though, a real place of acceptance and enjoyment even, of solitude and being outside of a kind of family structure. What is it that appeals to that about you? Oh, sorry, what is it about that that appeals to you?
Look, the fact that I've got here is what appeals to me about it the most. I mean, I think it's the same as the satisfaction within any life that comes at a certain age. And if you have, if life has offered you family, then, and you get to a certain age where you're feeling satisfied and content with that, then I think you're happy. For me, it's the same. Life has not offered me that. It's offered me this. And it, eventually, after being totally distressed by it, eventually after making every decision on my own, eventually after travelling alone, eventually after forming a great network of friends and activities, of finding that why I would be a writer is beyond me, because, you know, wouldn't you want a life that, where you go to work and meet people all the time? But that's just my fate. Now that I've found what my fate is and have accepted that, and I think that's what we need to do with our lives, you know, is to accept what is rather than yearn for what isn't. That's when, you know, this sense of contentment and happiness and satisfaction comes in, because I reckon, you know, look, it wasn't the hand I wanted. It was the hand I got, and I reckon I dealt with it okay.
Yeah, and there is a lot of inspiration to be found in that. And knowing that humans have an innate need for community, for connection, often that is found in the structure of family and all that comes with it. How have you met that need?
Oh, it's funny you should say that. A friend of mine, we had this launch of the book last Tuesday night. I cannot believe 100 people came into the bookshop and crowded it out. Afterwards, a friend of mine said to me, you've got all these people coming here because you invest in these relationships. She said, and she's in family, and she was saying, you know, I invest in my family relationships. And that's the kind of difference. And I think if I'd had a family, I would not have invested in my friendships and my relationships with the community in which I live, particularly the cafe community here in the city of Melbourne. But, you know, I would have done it anywhere else as well. You just you build relationships and they turn up at your book launch, which is a fantastic thing. It felt like an endorsement of everything that I have done. And I think that's just it. People choose where they put their energy. And if you have a family, you put your energy into making that the best thing.
You also describe family very interestingly in the book. There is this passage where you talk about family being the thing that gives us a cultural lineage, but also almost in a way divides us between domestic culture, the little world we live in inside our four walls, and then mainstream culture and what's okay to say outside of the home. Can you explain that concept of family a little bit more?
Well, I'm just thinking that when I was in a situation where family was around me, which I am no longer because I live on the other side of the country to my cousins, when I am in those family settings, I can hear the tones in the voice. You know, I can hear the lines that we've used forever about certain subjects. I can see the way we connect on some things, argue about other things and other subjects we just know are taboo for all of us to be in the same space. So that's what I mean by the culture, you know, how we collectively as a family think about the rest of the world, and we kind of know where we stop and the rest of the world starts. And there's a certain kind of, I'm sure you understand it when I say, a certain language that you speak at home, and I don't necessarily mean a different one. It's just a kind of dialect, if you like, of what we do when we're out with other people. And the difference for me, of course, is that I have my family language, if you like, my family dialect, which I rarely speak anymore. Only if there's a funeral, I'll go home to see, you know, everyone. So I've got my own kind of dialect going on in here when I'm talking to myself or maybe the telly or the bookcase or something. But really, it's I find it's exactly the same as how I am outside. I really notice that I have now become the same person on the inside as I am on the outside. And that's kind of amazing to me. I just never expected that would happen. I always thought there would be something different, you know, that I might put a cloak on to be walking in the street talking to people or meeting people, but no, this is me.
Yeah.
That's talking to you now.
It's special, and it's a different level of authenticity, and that's become, the idea of being authentic has become increasingly important, I think, day in, day out. And the looking at that family structure, you talk about this very briefly at the beginning of the book, where fractures in family relationships can be part of what lead people into a world or a lifestyle of solitude, of singleness. What's your view on that, the impact of broken family relationships on singleness?
I haven't researched it, but anecdotally, I've met people, men and women, who've said, oh, I could never get married because I don't want a repeat of what I grew up in. I have a real sadness for that because I think I know a thousand other more people who will have married even though they've had broken homes, and they may still struggle in their marriages to not repeat what's happened to them, or they may conquer that and they may fail at it. I think what I think mainly about life is that you need to step up to the challenge that comes at you, the cards that are presented, and be the best person you can be. Learn from these things, be kind, forgive yourself when you're not. You know, these sorts of things are really important. So I have a great sadness when people make such a decision, because I think they're making that decision because they think maybe they'll be happier if they don't. And I'm not so sure it's any easier.
Yeah, it's a different set of challenges that you pick up instead.
Exactly. And it looks like freedom. And it looks like no more trouble, and it looks like, you know, you can spend a day in bed and no one will know. And these things are true, but it is the challenge of loneliness and how to turn that into solitude. It is making every decision by yourself, whether you feel like it or not. It is the total and utter inability to change your situation. Like, if you are living a single life and you suddenly want a partner, you actually need another person to make that decision with you. It's a pretty unforgiving, relentless kind of life to live. And, you know, eventually I got happy about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a reality check. It's a reality check for all the people that are married or do have kids and think, oh, wouldn't the single life be amazing?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's aspects that are great, but there's also a true reality to it, which then this question comes up for me then. If next week, in a year's time from now, the most gorgeous man came across your path and you said, hey, he's the one, and he agreed, would you get married then? Or have you now so far committed to this single life that you're not interested anymore?
Oh, of course I would. If someone walked into my life and I loved them and they loved me and he was the good man, it has to be a man for me. But, you know, if love is in the room, I'm not going to say no to it. Of course not. Of course not. But I've got love in my life. You know, it's not like it's a loveless life at all. It just isn't that kind of love. And if that kind of love walked in, of course I would. And I would be sad about the preciousness of this existence. You know, the two don't mix, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, of course I would. And I don't imagine that it's going to happen. These days I don't care about that so much. There's sometimes I do. You know, you get me in a down moment and I'll be sitting there going, where's my person? We all do that, don't we? It doesn't matter what it is. That's just the subject that comes to my mind when I'm feeling a bit lonely.
Oh,
but now
totally.
I know it's not so important. Yeah.
You'll be encouraging a lot of people, no doubt. And as they do read She, I Dare Not Name, what would you love for it to leave with them?
I hope they feel that they can live the life at hand. That's what I want. That people can live the life at hand, knowing that all lives are as complex and as challenging and as wonderful as each other. I hope that they realise that any statistical research that says you have a better or worse time of it than the other side is absolutely and utterly flawed, and they don't listen to any of that. I hope that everyone who reads it gets an insight into what this life is like, so that if they meet someone on the road like me, they'll respond to me with respect and dignity rather than question me about with assumptions about my sexuality, my sanity, or my choice.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.